Good morning. It's great to see all of you. Good to be here. Have any of you been the victim of injustice? A few years ago, my wife and I were going to have an anniversary weekend. We decided we were going to go into New York City. We had a nice little hotel that we got a good deal on and some restaurants, and we were going to go Radio City and see another show, and we had this thing all planned. I got a little tight budget, but we're gonna make a great time out of all that. I take the LIE to the Queens Tunnel, come through the Queens Midtown Tunnel, and you know, you come up to that point where you're finally gonna get back into go cross town, and so you're right at 2nd Avenue, and the light turned green, and I started across 2nd Avenue, and all these people, these New Yorkers, they were walking across the walkway against the light. It's like, oh, let's see, I'm not gonna honk. Just wait, but they just kept coming. Then the light changed. I'm still out in the box, in the middle of the intersection. And you know, there's a policeman standing there. He just points at me and says, just come right over here. I need, you know. And I noticed that there were policemen on all the corners, and he pulled me over. He says, I'm going to have to write you a ticket for stopping in the box. I said, well, stopping in the box? I stopped in the box because all those people were walking across. I mean, I had the right of way, but I didn't want to run over those people. He said, well, you were in the box when the light turned red, so that's a fine. And so he started writing up the ticket. It was $185. And I was like, oh, they want my budget for our anniversary trip, right? And I'm thinking to him, now come on here, give me some justice. The reason I didn't drive across because I was looking out for the safety of these other people. I mean, if anything should have been done, you should have been stopping those people from walking across the crosswalk. Well, he just looked at me, and Becky kind of put her hand on me like, calm down, Jack. You know, I don't want to spend our anniversary in jail, okay? And, he, as a younger officer, I have great respect for all these guys. He looked at me and said, look, I'm sorry. He said, we're just doing what we've been told to do. Because they were pulling over people. Every time the light changed, they got another person in the box. You know, and later on that week, I read that the New York City was having some budgetary problems, and so that we're going to solve some of the budgetary problems with increased fees and more ticketing. And I thought, I have just been a contributor to the problems in New York, right? Well, listen, if that's injustice, and I'm a victim, that's a pretty tiny little piece of injustice compared to what's going on perhaps in your life or in this world, right? I mean, a lot of people have not gotten justice. A lot of people have been hurt badly by people in authority. And so sometimes this whole thing is, you know, the last few months we've just been talking and people have been trying to define what is justice and what is injustice. Well, let's look at what the Bible says about all this. The Bible says injustice is the abuse of power to take away from others the good things that God intends for them. To take away their freedom, take away maybe the fruit of their labor, take away their dignity, take away their opportunities in these ways. And so abuse is this injustice is this abuse of power to do this whole thing. Listen to Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. See, this has been going on for a long time. This is part of our world and where we're at. Solomon, the wise king, he says, again, I looked and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. And I heard the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressor, and they had no comforter. So there's always been big people in charge, you know, who've had the power. And instead of using their power to really lift other people up and to help other people, they've used their power to oppress other people. Somebody said, well, give me a simple definition for what injustice is. I like this. Injustice is exactly the opposite of what God is. So sometimes if you want to just think about all this, let's look at who God is, what we know about him from his word. And then the opposite of that, well, that's injustice. But you can see, the way this we spell this out is that the oppressor, the injustice is when the oppressor uses his power against someone who doesn't have the power, or he is someone who takes from someone who doesn't have even what he has. And so they rob of other people. You say, well, those must be really terrible people who do this. Yes, yeah, some of them are in the Bible. Did you know that? I mean, think of King David, who's described as a man after God's own heart. He was up on his palace balcony, looked down and saw a beautiful woman, you know, was in the vicinity. And he said, I want her. And, you know, with his position of power, he got her. She was brought to him. He said, I want you to be my wife. And he took her. When her husband came back, he said, well, we can't fool your husband, so I'll just get rid of him. And he sent him off to war. You know the story, right? Sent him off to war, put him in a position where it was certain that he would be killed. Here's King David, hero of the Bible, abusing his power as king to get what he wanted. It wasn't really what was right. It wasn't what was good for that woman, for her husband, for their family. But he just took what wasn't his. And you remember when the prophet Nathan showed up and told him the little story about the man who just had one sheep, and the other man who had 100 sheep came and took the one sheep away? And David was like outraged, like, get that man, we'll make him pay for this, you know, take his life. And what did Nathan say to him? You are the man. So injustice is very much part of our sinful world. And it touches all of us in these ways. So today, as Pastor Jerry said, we're celebrating Freedom Sunday. And Freedom Sunday is really a celebration. Thousands of churches around the world, here in the United States, we're doing it under the coordination of an organization called IJM, International Justice Mission. Just say it with me, International Justice Mission. And these people have done a great job in terms of opening our eyes as to what's going on in the world. You see, I'm worried about my traffic ticket, you know, and $185. But you know what? In the world, in our country, and in our world, there's much bigger issues going on. There's much more injustice happening all around us. And so on this Freedom Sunday, we want to come and open your eyes, open our eyes together to see the world that we live in and what God wants us to do about all of this. As Jerry said, there's over 40 million people today who are held in slavery. That's more than all the number of people who were in the transatlantic, you know, transportation, moving slaves from Africa to North America. That's more than all the number of slaves that there have ever been in any time in history. There are more people in slavery now than any other time in history. And you're looking at me like the same look that I had when I saw this. How could this be? I never heard about this. 40 million people enslaved? Nobody says anything. I don't hear this on the news. What's really going on with all this? Have you thought about how many 40 million is? I think the New York metro area, you know, within 50 miles of Times Square is 20 million people. So all the people that you see and come in contact with within 50 miles of Times Square, times two, that's the number of people who are enslaved in the world today. And what does God think about all this? And what do you and I think about all this? I mean, the International Justice Mission has put their focus on this whole situation and has said, listen, God doesn't want this to happen. What does he want us to do? And are we just going to talk about it, or are we going to take some action? Well, I'm warning you, today's an action Sunday, okay? We're going to look for ways that we can be involved and respond in all this. But first, I want you to see how this slavery impacts the life of people, one person at a time. Take a look at this video.
You're working 14, 18-hour days with very little sleep, no freedom. Dignity is taken away from them. and that's something nobody should have to endure. We had a number of years ago, two of the Mongoladers escaped from a facility. And they were tracked down by the owners of the facility and brought back. And as a punishment for what they had done, their hands were chopped off.
We would go to the government officers and we'd say, sir, there is a bonded labor case. And almost always the response was, there is no bonded labor in my area. What are you talking?
How much?
30.
Yeah, we're free.
Ruchira,
can you, there's a girl who's very afraid. Almost unable to walk.
This is Kumar. He was abandoned by his mother, and his father was suddenly killed. Orphaned and alone, he was accountable for his parents' debts. And at just 7 years old, he was forced into slavery. Kumar remembers a day where he was so ill he couldn't get out of bed. Immediately, his owner came looking for him. Kumar was trapped by debt and a slave owner who beat him continuously. He, like so many, had no remaining hope for a way out.
So how do you respond to something like that? And here's one young man, lost his parents, had a family debt, got taken in, now in this forced labor. He's not getting paid, not going to school. He has no childhood, doesn't have friends that he can go out and play with and relax. This boy, Kumar, he's just like you and me. He's got one life that he gets to live, right? And whatever has been the circumstances of your life, I know my circumstances, but so many favorable things have been in my life that have really protected me and enhanced me and helped me to have all these things. Kumar's just got the same life, the one life as I have and you have. And what's happening with him? I mean, doesn't it just break your heart? Doesn't it just make you furious to think, you know, how in the world could this go on? You're thinking probably, well, that probably, maybe this is happening a few places. Well, you know, IJM tells us that there's at least 12 million people in slavery just in India. That one-third of the world population there of slaves is in that country. And that here are these people who are just like you and me. They're made by the same God. They're made in the image of God. They're given, you know, this opportunity to live. And someone has grabbed a hold of them and imprisoned them and basically have taken away their humanity, taken away their dignity, taken away their freedom. They've kind of made them almost into nothing. Made them into a thing, just a mechanical worker that can do work for them and give benefit to them. So what does God think about this? There's a lot of passages in Scripture, at least six or eight of major passages, where God talks about oppression and he talks about injustice. And God speaks very strongly about this. I'll pick one today that we can look. This is from Luke chapter 4, and this is a real pivoting moment in the history of the world. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus has reached the age of 30. I mean, he had an exciting entrance into the world that we celebrate at Christmas time, But he's been pretty quiet. And now at age 30, he's going to step out into the spotlight. He's going to begin to reveal the mission that he's on and who he really is. So let's listen to Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Remember, he'd been in the desert, and God had really kind of worked on all of this. Satan had tried to get him off track and say, hey, just look out for yourself. Just do what would make you popular with other people. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to do what the Father wants me to do. He said, the news about him spread through the whole countryside, and he was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. So he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. This is like one of the biggest moments in history. Because here in this very ordinary setting, where they had all been before, and Jesus had been there many times, Jesus now begins to, he's got a big announcement for them. He's not just an ordinary person. He's 100% man, but he's 100% God. And not only is he just going to read as one of the residents of Nazareth, he's reading as God come to earth. And he's reading, and he's going to basically say, I'm the fulfillment. We've been reading these words for hundreds of years, but I'm now the fulfillment of all that of these promises. So he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet of Isaiah was handed to him. This had been written 600 years before this. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. So Jesus opens it, finds the place, and he kind of says, I'm going to read to you. I'm picking out the spot. You're going to see the fulfillment of what God had promised here. Verse 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He said, this is my agenda. This is why I'm here. This is what I've come. This is, God has seen what's going on in this world, and he sent me into this world to address all of these things. He sent me here to make a difference, to set things right. Verse 20 says, then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What a moment in history. What a moment in the world that we live in. That God himself shows up and says, I see what's going on here. And I've sent my son. I'm sending my son. I'm coming into the midst of this whole thing. And I'm coming to set some things right with all of that. So you can see, remember what he said, I'm coming to bring freedom for the prisoners, sight for the blind. I'm coming here to set the oppressed free of all these things that's happened. I'm the answer. I'm here. You know, I just wonder if he had been standing there in front of that brick factory there in India, you know, what would Jesus be looking and seeing with all that? He would see what's going on. And he said, I'm here to help set these people free. You know, that's I think the one of the things that we like about this great organization, IJM, International Justice Mission, is that they're taking the eyes of Jesus and looking at situations in the world and saying, this isn't right. And look what they're doing to people. And he's pulling, and he's saying, we're going to look at this situation and we're going to make a difference. We're going to respond the way that Jesus would respond and free these people and set them on the right path. You know, for people that we know and the world that we see, God has an answer. He's working through his church and working through people like you and me to help make a difference in their lives. IJM has been involved there in India for a number of years, and they've been looking into this, and you know what? They're seeing good results. Take a look at this. Let's see what happened to Kumar, okay? Take a look.
Thank you.
IJM discovered the horrific conditions in the brick factory where Kumar and others were being forced to work against their will. And, based on their undercover video evidence, local government authorities and police came alongside IJM to conduct a rescue operation.
The more and more we are doing these rescues, people are getting aware that people are being abused, there is bonded labor, there is trafficking. Also, the law is going to take its course as well as perpetrators go behind.
When the team arrived in the morning and entered the brick factory, 15 men, women, and children were rescued and given their freedom back. Then, they were each given a certificate to prove that they no longer owe any debts to their former owner. And one was for Kumar. After being rescued, IJM placed Kumar in their aftercare program to heal.
You'd ask him a question anytime, no matter what, and he would say, the one thing I want to do, sir, is I want to study. He was clear about that.
And then, they enrolled him in school for the first time. Today, he is studying to be a social worker, to help those still suffering like he did.
And what we do at IJM is we go look for that lost sheep, that girl that's being abused, that widow who's been run out of her home. And we will search for her until we find her. That's how our Father has loved us. That's how we are called to love others. Not to search for them until we've satisfied ourselves. Not to search for them until it gets really hard. But to go after them until we find them. To be relentless in our love.
What are you going to do? You're going to sit on your hands? Yes, you got the right idea right there. Yes, because you see what happens. Come on, let's. To him? I mean, we ought to be rejoicing that people cared enough to come forward. It looks like it was a quick thing, but you know, they spent months investigating and getting the evidence together and getting everything lined up to be able to go in and to make that rescue and to bring him out. And you see the change that's happened in Kumar's life. And the other thing that's amazing, number one, they say he's a very deep thinker. He said they said he's a fantastic dancer. And he's going to college. And he actually joined the IJM staff in Bangalore. So that he's now helping rescue people in the way that he was rescued. He sees this whole connection. And even better, he's become a Christian. He's given his life to Christ. Now, some people argue and say, well, you know, this whole thing about Jesus coming to set the captive free, that's more of a spiritual thing, you know, like he comes to help us with our pride and with our greed and with our alcoholism and with our drug habits, and, you know, he comes to kind of free us from the oppressors. And those things, those are spiritual oppressors in our lives. There's no doubt that those things do, steal our life away from us. But Jesus didn't come just to do spiritual work in us. He came to do physical work, physical justice as well. And I think the fact that Kumar is now a Christian, a believer in Jesus, I think there's a link, if you went back, to him being able to be rescued and be freed physically opens the door, kind of sets him on the path that now when he hears about Jesus and the people, you know, who had come to see him. Now he understands how real it is, and now he becomes free spiritually. Do you see the link? And so God wants us not just to be worried about people's spiritual problems, but to be worried about where they're at physically and what's happening with all of them. And I think that's why we've liked, you know, being connected to IJM. And we're asking you today to be invested. Remember, we talked about being invited. We talked about being indispensable, using our gifts. And then last week, I talked about us being instrumental, that God wanted to use us. And now it says, I'm invested. Because we can't just stand and watch this from a distance. I have a friend who likes to say, you know, when all is said and done, much more will have been said than will have been done. And sometimes in the church, we're very guilty of kind of saying, oh, yeah, we're really concerned. We're really understanding what's going on. But what are we going to do about it? God gave us resources. He gave us gifts. And now he gives us time and opportunity. And we want to ask you today to get invested in all of this. Get invested because of young men like Kumar. I mean, one of the things that was excited to a number of us here in the church, 2 years ago we showed the video about what was going on in Ghana, Africa. Out in the upland in Ghana, there's some lakes up there, very shallow lakes, but they have some very small fish in there. And the men up there are basically taking young boys, enslaving them, and making them work on the boats. They're catching the fish and pulling the fish out of the nets and doing all these things and treating them terribly. We saw the videos of all this, and many of us were moved and kind of said, we want to be a part of this, and we were praying and joined with a lot of other churches. And last year, a missions team from this church went to Ghana because a young lady from our church had helped to start like a mission and a school there. And what did we find out? One of the boys who was on the video from 2 years ago had been rescued by IJM, and now there he was in the school. And people from Shelter Rock got to see him and meet him, and got to see this at work. His life coming alive because now he's been rescued and made in that way. Do you want to be part of this? You know, God's not looking for more spectators. He wants us to get involved, get invested, put some skin in the game, to put our money where our mouth is and where our heart is, and to say, we're going to make our contribution to make this happen. Last year, Becky, my wife and I, we got involved. We made a commitment to be IJM Freedom Partners. And so we send a contribution every month. And we're getting reports back as to what's happening and being a part of it, just playing a small role, doing what we can. And we're going to ask you today if you would be willing to take on that kind of a challenge to help us, to help this mission, to help God bring justice to many, many places here in the world. Now, there's really three things that you can do, and here they are. Number one is that you can pray. I know, when you say pray, it's kind of like, whoa, that'll be the easy one, right? Well, guess what? God uses prayer in a powerful way. One of the distinctives about IJM that I think we're all learning from is that they really believe that all the work that they do during the day is empowered when they pray. So they commit themselves, all of their staff, they pray 1 hour every day. Well, you think, you know, they must not be New Yorkers, you know. Who could take an hour of the day to pray? They pray 30 minutes when they first get to work, and then they work until lunchtime, and then at noontime, sometime between 12 and 1, they take another 30 minutes and pray, and then they work the rest of the day. A couple of weeks ago, we were invited to get on the prayer call, and a number of our staff, Pastor Jerry and I, we were on the call with the people from the IJM staff here in New York, and they were praying because they believe that prayer opens doors and gets them favor in situations that only God can open the doors. So you could be part of this prayer team as well and praying for them, and they'll let you know what you and your family can be praying about and making an impact in the world. Number two is that you can participate. We have a great mission here at the church called Cycling for Change. Santosh Paulus is here. Stand up, Santosh, so everybody can see who you are. Santosh is a doctor. She works in the Northwell system, and God has used him and his family and a lot of his friends to bring up the issue of human trafficking here in New York. And so they've been raising money. They've been raising awareness. Northwell has really launched a comprehensive program to identify trafficking here on Long Island and in New York. And they've been raising all this. They're going to have a fundraiser on the 17th of October, and you can walk, you can run, you can jog, you can ride a bike, all different things on that day, and raise a little money to help out. They're going to be outside after the service. Use your legs. Let God grab hold of your feet and your legs and your heart and your lungs and do something. Participate. You be part of all this. Then the third thing that we can do is that we can also partner. We can pray, we can participate, we can partner. And so God wants us to partner. And I think God's calling our church to partner with IJM. And we've been thinking about talking with them. And we've kind of identified two areas there in southern India, in Chennai and also in Bangalore, where they have offices. And we're thinking that we would like to raise some money and really focus our money and our efforts and our prayers here in these two spots there in India. There's a number of families from our church that are actually from this area of India. And we care very much about the people there. And so we're wondering, let's get involved. Let's be connected in that way. And let's partner with them. We would like to raise $10,000 to kind of be an initial gift from our church. And I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to ask you to do that. But this isn't money for us. We're putting money in the hands of people who are going to help young men like Kumar. And that we can see more results of that. Do you want to be part of this? You can give. You can go on the Shelter Rock app. And you can see places where you can give to missions. And you can see a little spot where it's needed most. Just click onto those things. If you have a hard time with that, you can take some of the envelopes at the giving stations and kind of say, this is a gift I want to give above and beyond what I'm giving to the church. And you can make the gifts today and help out with that. You can also go to the IJM table that we have outside on the patio and find out from them. Maybe you can join up and be a Freedom Partner like my wife Becky and I did and make a difference in this world. Are you with me? You're supposed to say, I'm in, right? Are you in? Yes. God wants us to go to work and be part of his great redemption work. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, thank you for opening our eyes today. Thank you for letting us see how some people are suffering today, how their life has been taken away from them, how the oppressors are using them for their own personal gain, how they're brutal and destructive in their lives. Father, you know the names of every one of these people, and you love them. And I think you've been very patient waiting on us who know you to kind of get up and respond to what it is that you want to do. So, Lord, raise us up. Loosen our pocketbooks. Increase our prayer life. Show us how to care for more than just ourselves. Lord, we know this pandemic has kind of turned us inward and kind of made us feel like I got to just take care of myself. But Lord, maybe you want to use this pandemic to kind of open up one of the biggest revivals in the world, in the history of the world. That out of our own struggles, God's people saw the goodness and the love of God and that you used us to reach out to others. Lord, we want to be your people doing your work. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.